Chapter 2, Mishnah 9, we're talking about the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is very topical because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was at the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. He was the chief rabbi at the time of the Second Temple. Unfortunately for him, very hard decisions to make. And there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was inside Yerushalayim, the old city, and there were so many different groups of Jews. One of the causes of destruction were the Jews split into different groups. So you had groups of Jews. We had the Sadducees, the Sadducim, who were mostly Kohanim, all Kohanim. And they didn't believe in the oral law. They were running the temple. You had the Perushim, the Pharisees, the Perushim, which was where we are descended from. We are the Perushim. And you had the Sikari, who were like bandits, and the Biryanim, who are zealots, all zealots. In the time of the Second Temple, and there's a big inter-fighting. People, all these different sects are fighting each other in Yerushalayim, and the Romans are outside Yerushalayim, imagine. So cities of Yerushalayim are flowing with blood of Jews against Jews. It's hard to imagine. Jews against Jews. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, this is impossible, I can't take this anymore. They're killing people, are killing each other. Let me get out and talk to the Romans. The Romans are going to kill us. Let me go out and talk to the Romans. And the bandits, these guys, the zealots, won't let him out of town. No one's allowed to leave. No one leaves this place alive. So they advised him, pretend he died. We'll put you in a coffin and we'll take you out. Right? So he pretends he dies. They take him in a coffin. And they're going outside Yerushalayim. And the guards, they say, want to check the coffin. We'll put a spear right through the person and see if he's alive or dead. So what do you mean? What are you talking about? He's a rabbi. How are you going to put a spear in a dead rabbi? What kind of, how does that look to everyone? He's putting a spear in a dead rabbi. Okay, go. He goes outside. They go to take him outside. The coffin, they take the coffin outside. Of course, he gets out of the coffin. And he goes to see Vespasian. Vespasian is the general of the Roman general. One of the top Roman generals. And he goes to Vespasian. And Vespasian says, how come you didn't come before this? He said, what can I do? He says, the zealots wouldn't let me come. The zealots, they wouldn't let me out. So Vespasian says, if you have a barrel, and there's a snake, a poisonous snake around the barrel. You have a barrel and there's a poisonous snake around the barrel. Wouldn't you smash the barrel and kill the snake? Well, he's giving a parable. Mm-hmm. The barrel is Yerushalayim. And the snake is the Biryonim, the zealots. Right? There's a barrel, Yerushalayim, the zealots, so the snake. Wouldn't you smash the barrel and kill the snake? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know what to answer. What he should have answered is, kill the snake and leave the barrel. Whereas Vespasian is saying, shouldn't I destroy the whole of Yerushalayim with the snake inside, which is the zealots? And instead of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying, no, kill the snake and leave the barrel. That's what he should have said. He didn't. He forgot. He didn't know what to say. So Vespasian was very upset. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going to... Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I know you are going to be the next emperor. Just then, there was a big fight going on in Rome between four generals. Who's going to be the next emperor? Nero, the lunatic Nero, died. And there was a power vacuum in Rome. And there's a big fight going on, and they're killing each other. The four generals are fighting, and Vespasian was one of the four generals. His brother was fighting for him on his behalf, and his brother was killed over there. But eventually the Senate says, let's get Vespasian. We need a strong hand. We are going to appoint Vespasian. So Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling Vespasian, you are going to be the emperor. Right. Vespasian says, you're liable treason for two counts. Number one is, if I'm the emperor, why didn't you come before? And I'm not the emperor, the emperor's in Rome, and therefore you're liable as a rebel. Just then a horseman rides up and says, Hail Caesar, Hail Caesar. Imagine, just the time he's talking to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the horseman runs in from Rome, Hail Caesar, you are the new Caesar, Vespasian. Vespasian says, wow, amazing, he says. How did you know? He said, I know, because Hashem says, Jerusalem will not fall unless it's going to fall to a king. It can only fall to a king. It can't fall to anyone else. But Hashem says, listen, I'm not going to get destroyed, Jerusalem, by a regular person. It can't be. It's got to be by a king. So I know you're going to be the king. But Spezia says, since you told me that, I'm going to give you 3 wishes. You can have 3 wishes. What are the 3 wishes? What do you say? Here they are around, surrounding Yerushalayim. What would you wish for? Say, go back to where you came from. Leave us alone. No. What does he say? Give me the city of Yavne. Right. I want Yavne. I want to move all the rabbis into Yavne. Just leave the city of Yavne. Yavne is on the coast near Ashdod. Leave the city of Yavne. And number 2 is, leave me the descendants of David HaMelech. I want Mashiach's line untouched. Don't kill the line of Mashiach. And number 3, I need a doctor to heal Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok, it says, was fasting for 20 years for Jerusalem not to fall. And I need a doctor to heal Rabbi Tzadok. So those 3 things. So the Gemara says, what is he talking about? What happened to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Why didn't he ask to save Yerushalayim? He could have asked to save Yerushalayim. No, he's wasting his 3 wishes on 3 things. So the Gemara says, because if you ask for too much, you get nothing. Very, very famous ruling, very famous logical ruling. Tafasta miruba lo tafasta. If you grab too much, you grab nothing. So if you try and grab too much, even in our daily lives, you try and grab, you get too much, the person gets sick. Try and run. How much can you run? So it ends up with a person grabbing nothing. So he said, listen, it's better I ask for some small things and get them than ask for a big thing and not get it. So he didn't ask for Yerushalayim. Anyway, that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And these are his 5 students, his 5 main students. So now he asked his friends. Remember, we talked about this last week? Or 2 weeks ago. We said, what is the best trait? And the best trait is Lev Tov. A good heart. Because a good heart, what does a good heart mean? A good mind. If your mind is clean, if your mind is pure, if your mind is thinking good thoughts all the time, if you see someone, you think good things about them, and you want good things for them, that's a good heart. Halavai, we should all have good hearts. We see people and we think good things about them. We think good things and we're blessing them in our minds. It should be good, everything good. Have a good health, a good happiness. Have long life. That's a good heart. So now he asked them, what is the worst thing?
Evil.
And we talked about 2 weeks ago. Number 1, we said the evil eye. Ayin ra'a. Evil eye. So last week, 2 weeks ago, we had a whole discussion. You can look at the class if you missed it. It's on Torah anytime. You can go and look at it's very interesting, fascinating discussion. What is the evil eye? Very, very fascinating. That was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkos. Rabbi Yeshua says, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, one of the great sages of Israel. Rabbi Yeshua says, the worst thing in the world. What is the worst thing in the world? Come on, guys. What is the worst thing in the world? Chavera. A bad friend. An evil friend. And this is the first thing I know when I look at kids in school. I say, who's your friend? If his friend is a good kid, must be a good kid himself. If his friend is a bad kid, I know this guy's mixing in the wrong company. You've got to worry about the kid. Mm-hmm. So by looking at people's, who their friends are, you can tell who the person is. The person has an evil friend, obviously he's not going to last very well. Because the peer pressure is how we react to other people. Peer pressure is very strong. So the worst thing in the world is a bad friend. Imagine. You don't want to rely on. Your friend is evil. Imagine. Takes the worst places, does the wrong things. Rabbi Yossi, that's why it's being in jail is so bad. Why? Because in jail they make friends. Who are their friends? All the convicts, all the prisoners over there. They get into worse habits. Rabbi Yossi says, Shachedra, worse than a bad friend is a bad neighbor. Why? Because your neighbor's with you 24/7. He's right next door. Unless you live in a detached house. In those days, detached house is better. Rabbi Shimon says, the worst thing is, Haloveh ve'enu meshalem. A person borrows and doesn't pay back. What does that mean? What happens if you borrow and don't pay back? No one is going to lend you money in the future. So therefore, you are ruining your future. And then he continues, which is amazing. Echad haloveh min ha'mahadam. Whether you borrow from other people, keloveh min ha'makom baruch hu. It's like you're borrowing from Hashem. So a person shouldn't think, when I borrow, I'll tell everybody, I'll make up a story, I won't have to pay him back. When you're borrowing, you are also having Hashem is involved. Hashem is watching you. And therefore, it's very important. Why? Because if you borrow and don't pay back, no one's going to lend you money in the future. And Hashem is involved as well. Rabbi Lazar says, Levra, the worst trait is a bad heart. Which means inside, a person is thinking bad things all the time. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. I'm going to teach this guy less. I'm going to teach that guy less. I'm going to get my vengeance on this guy. I'm going to get vengeance on this guy. I hate this person. I'm going to lower them. I'm going to trick this one. I'm going to trick that one. Con artist. A con artist. Looking around and saying, oh, that guy's an easy victim. I'm going to trick that guy. That's a libra. Terrible heart. Evil heart. Everything comes from the mind. Everything comes from... It's interesting. And the Torah says, Lo tatur acharei levavchem. Don't go after your heart. Your heart is... If your heart is evil, then you're going to run after your heart. You're going to think evil thoughts, and you're going to start doing evil things. So a person's going to work on their mind, purify their mind, and think good thoughts. It's so hard to think good thoughts all the time. A person's going to think good thoughts all the time. So now each one of these five students are going to say three things. Hey, Mamrush, Lashay Devarim. Each one of them said three things. Number one, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkan says, number one, Yi kevod havercha chaviv alech kishecha. Let the honor of your friend be as dear to you as your own honor. What does that sound like? Vehafta lerecha kamocha. If I love myself, I should love you the same way. So his honor, you should worry about his honor just like you worry about your honor. You worry about other people's honor, just like you worry about, just like you would. You want other people to treat you. That is the way you should treat others. You want people to say hello to you? Say hello to them. You want people to smile at you? Smile at them. Exactly the same way you want other people to treat you. That's the way you treat other people. So that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. So a person be careful not to hurt other people's feelings. Just like you don't want them to hear your feelings, don't hurt their feelings. Give them honor, and they'll give you honor. Number two, are you ready? Al tinoach lechos. Don't be easy to get angry. You know, later on we're going to see in chapter 5 there are four different levels of anger. What are the four different levels of anger? A person who is easy to get angry and hard to pacify. That's the worst. Easy to get angry. Every time, every 2 minutes they're blowing up and they never forget. You know, the guy goes to the doctor, psychologist with his wife. Says, doctor, help us. This is why. Because every time my wife gets historical. Historical? You mean hysterical? No, historical. She says, what I did 30 years ago. She told me, I did 30 years ago, you did this. And 25 years ago, you did this. And 20 years ago, you did this. That's a person who gets angry and never forgets. Oh, yeah, the worst combination is easy to get angry and slow to forgive. That's the worst. The next level is hard to get angry and hard to forgive. They don't lose their temper very often, but when they do, they don't forget. They don't forget. Number three is slow to anger and hard to forget. They're very slow to anger, hard to forget. So the best thing is slow to anger and easy to forgive. Slow, never get angry. Once in a while they get angry and it blows over very fast. That's an ideal trait. And that's what he says, is be very careful. Alti noach lechos. Don't be easy to get angry. There's a beautiful story. It's brought down in Geret HaRamban. We're doing it on Monday nights. The letter the Ramban, Nachmanides, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, wrote to his son. Rav Moshe ben Nachman was a very big Spanish rabbi who had to have a disputation. You know what a disputation is? They would force the rabbi to have a public debate with a Christian priest. And the rabbi was allowed to say whatever he wanted. And the Christian priest obviously could say whatever he wanted. And usually the Christian priest would win the argument because the rabbi was muzzled. And then they expect all the Jews there to convert to Christianity. That was a disputation. So the rabbi Ramban was forced to have a disputation with a Christian priest called Pablo Cristiani, who unfortunately was a Jewish apostate. Imagine, a Jewish apostate to Christianity. But he tells the king, he says, I'll only dispute in public on one condition. I can say whatever I want. So it was like he had three or four different debates, one after the other. And everyone agreed the Ramban won the debate. Everyone agreed. It was so clear the Ramban won the debate. In fact, there's a book, The Disputation. You can read the book. And now what happened was, when the Ramban won, the priests were mad at the Ramban. Won the debate. The king gave him 300 gold coins. He said, I've never seen a person win a losing argument. So obviously the king is a Catholic. He's not going to say the Jew won. But he's never seen a person argue so well on something which is wrong. He's wrong. Obviously he's wrong, but he's argued so well. So he gave 300 gold coins. And the Dominican priest said, we want to kill him. We're going to kill him. And the king said, I'm going to defend you, but I can't defend you over here. You have to run away. So he ran away. He was expelled from Spain. And came out, he's 72 years old. He moves to Israel at the age of 72. He left his children, his grandchildren in Spain, and he writes a letter to his children called Igeret HaRamban, the letter of the Ramban. Very famous. We have it over here. Monday nights, every Monday night, 8 o'clock. We do this, Igeret HaRamban. One of the things he focused on, the first thing he says is, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Anger is the worst trait. And anger comes from pride. Anger comes from pride. Me? You did this to me? Who are you to do this to me? It's always the pride. Pride comes. Anger's a very bad trait. And when a person gets angry, the Gemara says, it's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. It's as if they're worshipping idols. Why? Because in their fit of anger, their ego is really high, and they think, I'm greater than God at this time. And God says, oh, you think you're greater than me? I'm going to teach you a lesson. Right? So it's important not to get angry, and that's what the Mishnah says over here. Al tinoach lechos. So it brings over there a beautiful story. And the story is, there was a good son. A son looked after his father so well, beautifully, and the father, before he's dying, he says to his son, he says, please promise me, if you ever feel you want to get angry, right, sleep over it. Don't get angry till you go to sleep first. So the son says, Dad, I promise, if I want to get angry, first I'm going to sleep, and then in the morning I'll decide if I'm going to get angrier. So, what a great thing. So what happens is the son goes into business and he has to go abroad. He goes abroad and he's away for 20 years. He got stuck somewhere and they put whatever. In those days he had bandits and pirates and ransom. He got married and just had to go away on business 20 years. He comes back. He comes back home. He didn't say, in those days no letters, no nothing. He comes back home. He sees his wife in the arms of a handsome young man. He takes out his dagger. I'm going to kill them both.
It's his son.
He's getting angry. I'm going to kill them both. And he remembers what he promised his father. First, I'm going to sleep, and then I'll get angry. He goes to sleep. When he wakes up, someone told him she had a baby, his son.
Right.
It's his son, his wife, and his son. So he says, can you imagine if I'd have killed them both, I'd kill my whole family.
That's
right. So, in a fit of anger, especially in those days, where a person could do whatever they wanted, no police in those days. So, a person could be very, very careful what they do with their anger. So a person's got to be very, very careful. The Gemara says in the Darim, Kol HaKoes Mishkach Talmudo. A person who gets angry, he loses all his wisdom. Forgets what he learned. Mosif Tipshut, and he increases being foolish. So it's interesting because the Rambam wrote, I don't know if we went through this, Rambam wrote a book called The Eight Chapters. Have you heard of it? Shmona Prakim. It's very famous. Shmona Prakim Le Rambam. The Eight Chapters of the Rambam, which was his introduction to Pirkei Avot. His introduction, imagine, 8 chapters, introduction to Pirkei Avot. It sounds like it's a lot. It's a very short chapters, not so bad. And today it's translated, you get it. The book is bigger than the chapters. The book they wrote was a nice commentary on the 8 chapters. 8 chapters of the Rambam, and over there he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, why was he not allowed into Israel? Why was it such a bad sin? Why did he hit the rock? So what? Hit the rock, it's a big deal. Hashem says, speak to the rock, he hit the rock. What's so bad by hitting the rock? What did you learn? Come on. What's so bad about hitting the rock?
Because he had already been told to do it before.
So Rashi says he didn't sanctify God's name.
Right, but the thing is, he had been told to do it before. So he
had been 38 years ago.
Right, but that's, he had been conditioned by the 38 years ago.
I don't know. Okay.
To do it.
But anyways, so what was his sin? Anyway, what was his sin then? You're saying there's no sin. He was conditioned, so what's his problem? So what's the sin? Why was he punished? He had a terrible punishment. You're not going to Israel.
Right.
So one opinion, Rashi says, because if the rock listens to his voice, the people will say to themselves, if the rock listens to God, we should also listen to God. Instead of which he hit the rock. And that ruined the lesson. The lesson is you listen to God's voice. You don't have to be hit. And I said, oh, the rock listens to anybody hit it. So Hashem has to hit us to get us to listen. He ruined the whole learning. It was a learning experience. Rambam says in Shmoneh Prakim, he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu lost his temper. Since he lost his temper, he wasn't allowed to go into Israel. Imagine. Terrible. On his level, to lose your temper, he wasn't allowed into Israel. Shemunah Hamorim. Listen to me, rebellious ones, he calls them. But the way he said it, it wasn't only what he says, although he lost his temper. He lost it. Lost control.
118 years ago.
The rabbi when he lost his temper, he also forgot.
Yes, and that's what he's saying exactly. Right? That's exactly what he said. When a person loses their temper, they forget what they learned. That's what he forgot. He forgot a lot of different halakhot. One of the halakhot we just learned, number one, he forgot the halakha of Pinchas, the Kanaim Pogimbo. Number two, he forgot the halakha of Selofchad's daughters. This week's parasha. The daughters say, we want inheritance in Israel. Our father died, no sons. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew the law and he forgot it. Then he lost a few halakhot. Number three, and this is the hardest one. This is the one which is out of your control. A person can remember this all the time. V'shuv yom echad lifnei mitzatcha, and do teshuvah one day before you die.
How do you know when you're going to die?
What's the answer? The answer is do teshuvah every day. Every day. That's why before a person goes to sleep, a person goes to vidui. Why? We don't know when a person is going. That's it. And this is very famous. So they asked him, his students asked him, Rabbi Eliezer, do you know which day you're going to die? So he said to him, Kol shekenshi aset teshuvah yom. To do teshuvah today, right now. Every day do teshuvah, because you don't know when. It's going to be the last day. In case a person dies the next day. So this way, a person's, all their days are with teshuvah. Every single day is teshuvah. So it's good. It's a good topic, because before the holidays, a person can learn about teshuvah. Now we think teshuvah, you know, the Rambam says, when you do teshuvah, you have to say it aloud. You have to say the words. But even teshuvah in the mind is very powerful. A person thinks in their thought, Hashem, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Please forgive me. Clear my slate, Hashem. I just want a clear slate. Clean my slate. That's a lower level of teshuvah. The higher level of teshuvah is, rewrite my slate for me. Put good things in my slate. Make the bad I did. I'm doing teshuvah, Hashem. Change all the bad I did to good. Imagine. So all the person's bad deeds, Hashem can change into good deeds. Amazing. What a power of teshuvah. A person can rewrite the whole tape. Rewrite everything. And this is what King Solomon says in Kohelet, Bechol et yu begadech levenim. Every second your clothes, your garments should be white. Your garments should be white. 2 weeks ago we read the story, right? In the Haftarah, if you paid attention. Yeshua Kohen Gadol. What happened to Yeshua Kohen Gadol? He was the high priest in the time of the Second Temple. He was the first high priest in the Second Temple. Yeshua Kohen Gadol. And what happens to him? It says, he was exiled into Babylon. And he was a big tzaddik. He was a big tzaddik. He survived a fiery furnace, his own story. But when he died, the malachim saw him with dirty clothes on. His clothes were filthy. Why? Because his two sons intermarried. Mm-hmm. Imagine, Kohen Gadol's two sons intermarried. And Hashem commands them to change his clothes, wear new clothes, because he's a tzaddik. Because this man was a spark saved from the fire. It's like a Holocaust survivor. He was one of the few Kohanim that survived. The whole temple was destroyed and burnt to the ground with the Kohanim inside it. People don't realize the Kohanim were inside the temple. Oy. And he was somehow found and they pulled him out. And he was unhurt. Amazing miracle. Hashem says he's forgiven. He's a spark from the fire. He's saved from the fire. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. That's Haftarah 2 weeks ago. In Parshat. Quickly, Balak. So Shlomo Melech says, what happens is your clothes should be white all the time. What is a person's clothes? What is he talking about? So number one is his deeds. But truth is, we are our spiritual garments of the soul. We have a soul and we have a body. In between the body and the soul is an interface called the garments. We are the garments of the soul. Our garments should be white, clean. What does that mean? We should be clean. We should be clean. So how can a person be clean? Do teshuvah, you get clean. How do we clean ourselves? Hashem gave us the ability to have our own personal laundry. So you think of laundry, you think dryer, washer, dryer. Right? What about a spiritual laundry? And the answer is, a spiritual laundry is the teshuvah inside. We can clean ourselves. But beautiful, right? Isn't that beautiful? You can clean your conscience. A person has a bad conscience. How do you clean your conscience? You go to a psychologist and says, oh, you didn't, you're okay, you're fine, okay. Or you do it yourself personally, which is harder, but easier. It's harder to do, but it's easier. Because it's within your powers. So the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gives a parable over here. You won't find it over here. It's in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, a story. A king. He invited all his servants to a suda. You're all invited to a royal party. Oh, great. When, Rabbi? When, Rabbi? When, King? When are we going to go to the party? No date. There's no date for this party. I'm going to invite you to a party. No date. So the smart ones, they said, could be any time. The king could call a party just like that. We got to be ready. We're all going to be ready, wearing our nicest clothes just for a split second, because the king could call a party any time. The fools went home, and they wore their dirty clothes, and they're busy with their dirty body things. Straight away, the king says, party time. The fools were cut with their dirty clothes, and they had to go rush to the party. It's like Haman, remember that? The king says, send messages to call Haman to the party now. I want the party now. Don't delay me. The king says, I want something now. He had to go and rush and bring Haman. He wasn't ready. So when the king saw the smart guys with the nice clothes, he was happy. He saw the fools were there with the dirty clothes. Perhaps then. So that's the thing. Hashem says, when you come to me, it's going to be, you're not going to know about it. It's going to be a split decision. Boom. And therefore, a person should always be careful that their clothes should be clean. It's so hard, boys. And always warm yourself by the fire of the wise. Sit next to the wise. Warm yourself by the Torah. However, be careful. Don't get too close. Don't get burnt by the Torah. Okay. Rabbi Shuas, now we come to the story. So we have five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Can you explain
that? No. So basically it says, be very careful. When you're close to someone who's great, it's like being next to a king. Little thing you do wrong, it's like a big thing. Right? Let me give you an example. A person serves in the palace of the king. Obviously, it's a very big honor to be in the palace of a king, but it's a very big strain and stress. You know why? If the king's in a bad mood, and it's the wrong day, and he's having an off day, and you look at him in the wrong way, in those days, it was like disaster.
But Tzaddik is not allowed to be in a bad mood. I mean, he has to be Shalit Ali Tzaddik, right?
Yes.
Why would it be like that?
Because don't forget, his honor is... You have to be careful about his honor. In other words, don't get too close. The same, it's like a parental child relationship, right? A person says, you know, I love my father, and I'll argue with my father. No, be very careful. Don't get to the point where it's like a friendship. It's not a friendship. It's the respectful friendship, which is very hard to, you know, maintain that that balance, and that's what we're talking about. So therefore there's a balance over here. On one side you want to be close, you want to be a friend. On the other side, you can't overstep the mark, because he's also a rabbi. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Be careful, because he has to keep the boundaries.
Oh.
And when he does keep the boundaries, it can be very painful.
Okay.
Right? So it's supposed to be very careful. And some rabbis more than others. He says Shammai was very, you know, makabdan. And you hear a little insult one here, and then boom, the guy says, get out of here. Get out. I don't want to see you again. So it's supposed to be careful. There's a boundary a person shouldn't overstep. That's what we're talking about. That's why people love Hillel. Because he's patient, slow.
Because you're saying that he's not done, and he'd say, get out.
It wasn't chaos. It wasn't chaos. It was, it's calculated. Chaos is losing it. Rambam, we have a beautiful Rambam in Hilchot Deot. Rambam says an amazing thing. He says, you're not allowed to get angry.
Yeah, well,
and not allowed to get angry. A person is not allowed to lose their temper and get angry. However, he says, you are allowed to show anger in two situations. Well, two situations. A teacher in a school. To teach students, you're allowed to show anger. You're allowed to get angry, you're allowed to show anger, otherwise the students won't respect you. And number two is a person in the household. They can show anger to their kids, otherwise nothing's going to run. The household's not going to run properly. But they can't lose it. So losing it is the problem. Acting it out, no problem. The problem is once you act it out, you start getting really good into it. You'll get into the part. That's the trouble. But you're allowed to act out anger, but not show anger, and act out anger, but not be angry. Amazing, amazing. So those are two situations. This is one of the situations. So the rabbi is allowed to show anger. So Shammai showed anger very well. People thought he actually got angry, but he didn't. He was very much in control. He was a calculated. Some people know how to calculate how much anger should I show my kid. It's amazing. Those are the best educators. Best educators. And especially in those days where you could whack a kid. I whack him very badly. I was terrible those days.
Yes.
I was there. I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, your father came home, you really were scared. If your mother says, you wait till your father comes home, that really was not an idle threat. Okay. That was not an idle threat. Today, your father's coming home, piece of cake. But in those days, your father's coming home, boy, scary. One look at you and you run. You run like a... Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, can we move on? But it's that's the thing, in those days, you don't know what it's like to live in those days. I remember when I went to school, six of the best. Boy, bend over the chair. Bang! Six! With a cane. There was no mercy. No mercy at all. Just whack, whack. For what? For stupid things. Silly things. So, corporal punishment was very much, you know, that was the way. And you know what? Maybe people were less, I don't know, they needed less psychological counseling. Because there was no, it wasn't psychological warfare. Today it's psychological warfare, which affects the guy inside, but doesn't affect them outside. Here, this one affects the body, not the, I don't know. There was no psychological counseling anyway. So just beating and that's it. You made a mistake and you got whacked. The next time you learned your lesson, that's it. Some kids don't learn lessons, so they got a beating a few times. Whack, whack. Rabbi Yeshua says, Ayin hara. Keep away from Ayin hara. So we said, what is Ayin hara? Jealousy. The eye of jealousy. The eye of jealousy, which is jealousy. Yetzer hara, the evil inclination. What's the evil inclination? Desire. Jealousy, desire. Sinat ha-briyot and hatred, which I think is kavod. There's three cardinal things. These are three cardinal midot to keep away from. Jealousy, hatred, and desire. Jealousy, hatred, and desire. Desire, you know, we all desire. Everyone has desires. So make the desires kosher desires. Right? A person has to have a kosher desire. So kosher desire is, thank God. Thank God we're Jewish. You know why? Because the alternative is abstention. Jews don't have to abstain. We have to control, but not abstain completely. So everything is allowed in moderation, in a kosher way. There's always a kosher way of doing things. You want to eat pork? The Talmud says there's a fish in the sea that tastes the same. There's always some kind. Today, forget about it. Today, they can flavor anything. Kosher pork chips. The flavor. You want to eat shrimp? You go to Israel. Kosher shrimp. What's kosher shrimp? It's soy. I don't know.
Soy.
Yeah. I don't know. I never had shrimp, so I don't know the difference. So what difference does it make to me? I'm just saying that we're lucky because why? Everything's allowed in moderation. Everything's allowed in a kosher way. Baruch Hashem. You know, amongst the Greeks were crazy. The Greeks were crazy. They were brilliant and crazy. How can they be brilliant and crazy at the same time? Sometimes they go together. Brilliant and crazy. They denied the unity of one God. Pagans. But the great philosophers, there were three systems of philosophy. There were the Stoics, there were the Cynics, and there were the Epicureans. The Stoics, the Cynics, and the Epicureans. So one of the great Stoics, there's a whole big discussion about him, was a guy called Diogenes. Mishugana. Diogenes. Have you heard of Diogenes? Diogenes lived in a barrel. What do you mean lived in a barrel? It means he gave up on anything physical. All materialism. Gave up all materialism. Says, I'm not going to be governed by materialism. So I live as a tramp. He never had food. People had to give him like scraps. He'd bake, go around begging. And he lived in a barrel. And he lived until his 90s. And there's a whole big discussion. How did he die? Some people just said he just held his breath. He held his own breath. He died. So anyway, committed suicide. But it was 90s and his body was going. Anyway, so what did he say? He says, keep away from anything material. And that was the format of the monks in the monasteries. That's their ideal way of life is stay away from anything. It's very easy. To stay away from desire, just go in the desert, live in a cave by yourself. No one around, no one to bother you. And me and God. Me and God. It's a little bit... But it's extreme that Judaism says it's forbidden. It's prohibited. What? You think it'd be a holy way, holy man. He's far away from everyone. He's meditating all day. And Judaism says, Asur. What do you mean, Asur? You have to be married. You have to be married? Well, holiness is only through marriage. Why is holiness through marriage? I don't get married because that's the key to unholiness. No! That's the key to holiness. Amazing. It takes everything upside down, twists it upside down. That you have to be amongst people. You have to live with them. You have to have a minyan. But I got a minyan. I don't like this guy. And Lord, don't it? We'll learn to get along. The whole idea is to learn to get along with other people, because that's how we perfect ourselves. And a person wants to keep away from other people. Why? Because Ayin Hara, I'm scared. Rabbi, I'm scared. This guy's looking at me like this, and this guy's looking at me like that. Learn to live with it. We're going to talk about it. So no one will have Ayin Hara. Everyone will have Ayin Tova. We should all have good eyes of people. Don't be jealous. Learn to live with other people. So this guy's got $1 million and you don't. That means you have to look at him and say, don't worry, Hashem has big hands. We forget who our father is. If our father wants to give us, he'll give us as well. He just doesn't feel that we need it. I don't need it, don't need it. And sometimes it's better to earn it yourself. It's very hard. I have a son living in Manhattan, Upper West Side. Looking around him. Oh, this guy's millions. This guy's millions. Says, I'm starting right at the bottom. What are you losing? What do you have to lose? It's like everyone looks around them. This guy's a million multi. This guy's multi. And who am I? I'm a little ant over here. Why do you feel like a little ant? You have the same father. All you have to do is ask your father. And who says materialism? How do you measure people? You know, look at these guys. They have everything and they have nothing. They end up with nothing. They're committing suicide. Oh, left and right. They have everything. And the more you have, the less you have. It's interesting. They don't feel like they have everything. They feel they have nothing. Why? Because spiritually, they're empty inside. It's not how much you have physically. It's how much you have spiritually inside you. Because you can't take the materialism with you. How do you know? Look at the pharaohs. They try to take all their belongings, put in a nice pyramid. How many people died building those pyramids? Thousands of people, slaves, died building those pyramids. Some of our ancestors probably died building those pyramids. What happened? The grave robbers robbed their graves. All their treasures. And who are the biggest grave robbers? The British and the French. And their museums. You'll find the bodies of the pharaohs. Imagine the bodies of the pharaohs themselves. So Rabbi Yeshua says, keep away from these traits, because these traits will remove a person from the world. What are these traits? Ayin Hara, being jealous all the time. A person jealous all the time will never sleep properly. I went to so-and-so's house and I said, beautiful things, I gotta buy it, I gotta get it, I gotta get it. Where do you get that from? Where do you get this from? How do you get this? How do you get that? Where your car? I love your car. Which dealer did you go to? Never sleep. Because there's always someone who has more than you. So I caught up to this guy. It's called keeping up with the Joneses, right? Mm-hmm. It's never enough. And a person say, listen, that guy's got such a big house. He built a big house right across from mine. I got a small house. He got a big house. I'm always looking out the window. Ayin Hara, Ayin Hara. Don't be jealous. But Yitzhar desires. Oh, a person will never go to sleep. A person has this desire, that desire, this desire. I can't. I gotta. I'm burning with desire. I'm burning. I can't control my desire. I can't. Help me, I can't control. There's an amazing it's amazing Gemara. And the Ram brings a halakha. What happens is, the man says, I'm dying. He stops eating. I'm in love with this woman. I have to have relations with this woman. I'm dying. I'm dying. So marry her. No, I don't want to marry her. I don't want to marry her. I want to just have relations with her.
What?
He's dying. So the doctor says, he has to have relations. He's dying. There's no pikuah nefesh. I'll give the guy. The rabbi said, let him die. He should die. What do you mean, let him die? It's not Pekua Nefesh. He's killing himself. It's suicide. We're not responsible for him. He wants to make the women and the daughters of Israel immoral. Asur. Let him die. He can't control his desires. Let him die. Crazy. So, in other words, it's up to you to control your desires. No one can help you. I can't help you. You have to learn to control yourself. The guy's overeating problems. Look at these guys. These guys. They have a competition every year in Coney Island, right?
Yeah.
Swallowing, how many hot dogs can you swallow? This guy swallowed 170. 170! How much?
I think it was
74.
Oh,
I thought it was 170.
Whatever.
Whatever it is, right?
Not
it's disgusting. The Chofetz Chaim says that he was in Europe. Can you imagine? It's in Poland. He went to the funeral, the biggest funeral in Europe. You know the biggest funeral? Hundreds of thousands of people came. For who? For this guy who died at this sausage swallowing contest. He was like the hero. He could swallow the most sausages. He was the hero. And his funeral was the biggest funeral in Europe. These are the people that they look up to. Wow, he could swallow so many. Wow, he's amazing. So what are they worshipping? Desire. They're worshipping desire. So we should try and control ourselves. Yetzer Hara. So we have desires. Everyone has desires. Control yourself. Desires have to be expressed in a kosher framework. It's kosher framework for everyone. Like, go, get married. Get married. Sinat Habriot. Hatred of people. Boy, that's a... Who hated people the most? Who's the guy, living creature, who hated people? Bilam. He had tremendous hatred. All he had to do was look. His eyes could kill. If looks could kill, the British say, if looks could kill, this guy could have killed someone. Bilam was the expert at killing people through their eyes. Sinat Habriot, hatred of people. Imagine, you don't want to be around people who just hate other people. And they should live by themselves because they hate other people. I can't stand this guy. I can't stand this guy. I can't stand this one. I can't stand it. Gets on my nerves. This one gets on my nerves. Goes live in your own little ivory tower somewhere. All these things remove a person from the world, literally. You won't want to stab. No one wants to be around these people. So removing him from the world means from society. No one wants to be around these people. So we have to understand these are the worst traits to keep away from. Again, the expansion of what they said. Ayin hara, we talked about already. Yetzer hara. We're all living with the Yetzer hara. We all live with the Yetzer hara. Right? What is the Yetzer hara like? It's like a wild horse. The Musa rabbis tell us the Yetzer hara is like a wild horse. A wild horse lives inside us. Our job is to tame that wild horse before it gets us, tramples us. We're like cowboys. You've seen a cowboy and a wild horse. So we are the cowboys. Who's the wild horse? Our Yetzer hara is our wild horse. We have to learn how to ride it. That's why you see the teenagers, they can't take it. They're going crazy. Because their Yetzer hara now is getting bigger and bigger and they don't know how to handle the Yetzer hara. We have to teach them. We have to give them the tools before they get to that age. It's very hard to handle our own Yetzer hara. Everyone has a Yetzer hara. So how do you handle the Yetzer hara? And the answer is, Hashem created the Torah. We're lucky you have the Torah. The Torah is the spice that teaches us how to make the Yetzer hara edible. Without the Torah, we'd be lost. You know, I'm amazed. I look around the world, I say, how do those people become so righteous without the Torah? And the answer is, they also have Torah. They have a New Testament, but it's based on the Old Testament, so they have some kind of Torah. The Quran is also based on the Torah. They have some kind of Torah. Because it's impossible to get... They have some kind of values which came from us. They definitely have values which came from us, so that's the Torah. So everything comes from the Torah. All these values come from the Torah. Yeah, very good. So it says, the Midrash says that the Umot HaOlam would come to Hashem and say, listen, the way the Jews got their greatness was because they had a prophet. We don't have a prophet. Give us a prophet. Hashem said, I'll give you a prophet. Who's the prophet? Bilam. So they could come along and say, listen, they recognized Bilam as one of their leaders. He was recognized as a leader. He was like the witch doctor, you know. The witch doctor is a leader, so.
But there are a lot of non-Jews that are very nice people. And why didn't you choose someone who's full of love? And not
because he was respected by everyone.
He was the one that respected.
He was already expected. He was respected by everyone as a magic maker, whatever. And so he says, okay. It was very hard for Hashem to talk to Bilam. He always talks to him, Vaikar Hashem. Hashem happens on Bilam. He doesn't say, Vaidaber Hashem Bilam. It's Vaikar Hashem Bilam. They'll say, Vaikra Hashem Bilam. Vaikra is the language of love. He calls out to Bilam. He didn't. It says, Vaikar, which is by happening. It was Hashem didn't want to be near Bilam at all, believe me. It was very hard, probably. Very hard. It was very hard to give Bilam prophecy. Bilam, because Bilam didn't accept the prophecy. What he wanted to do is twist the prophecy around. He wants to manipulate God. I'm a prophet who doesn't accept the prophecy as a prophecy from God. My master... I am the master of the God. That's why it was good to be a pagan. You know why? Because the pagans, they built their gods. They made their gods. They manufactured their gods. Why? Because we can tell our God what to do. God, this is what I want. You better answer me, otherwise I'm going to get a new one.
I'll make a new one.
I'll throw you in the garbage. Right. If the God answers me, well, they think he answers because my day went well. Must be the God. My day didn't go badly. Check him out. Get a new one. They had insurance policies of belief in God. A pagan had no problem accepting God. Why? I'll accept your God as well. Another insurance policy. I'll give you korbanot. Okay, I'll send you a sacrifice. Psh, amazing. It's an insurance policy. We only have one. And they didn't like that. That fueled anti-Semitism. We accept their God. They won't accept my God. They're exclusive. The Jews are exclusive. They only believe in one. Not only do they believe in one, they believe in one you can't even see. Which, as far as pagans were concerned, if you can't see it, doesn't exist. So Jews are atheists. Imagine they choose the Jews to be atheists. To believe in a God which you can't see is like atheism. Anyway, so let's move on to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, he wants to put things more in practical terms. It's very nice to have these ideas, keep away from Ayin Hara. How to make it practical? Keep away from hatred of people, but how do you make it practical? Keep away from the Yetzer Hara, but how do you make it practical? Rabbi Yossi is practical. Some people are practical, some people are not so practical. Some people are more theorists. Right? There's theoretical physics and then there's physics. So theoretical physics, theoretical mathematics, which is like Kabbalah. It's like, what is it? What are you talking about? Hard to understand what they're talking about, right? All these theorists. Rabbi Yossi says, I have a woman over here I just met. She was a theoretical psychologist. I don't know. But she's very advanced, boy, I don't know.
She explains things.
I have no idea. But you get a PhD in these kind of, you know. Rabbi Yossi says, Yibamon chavercha, chaviv alecha, b'shelcha. Let the money of someone else be dear to you like your own money. Oh, this is a very high level. You think it's very low level, it's very high level. You see one of your neighbor's cars being damaged, or it's close to being damaged, or whatever it is, or the lights are on in those days, the good old days, the headlights are on, your battery goes flat, and you call him up and say, listen, your headlights are on. It's nice. What happened to me? Parked outside my house, I left my rear gate open. Two people knocked on my door. Excuse me, sir. Is that your car? It's so nice. I mean, where do you find that? That's amazing. This is the mission. And they're not Jewish. No, they're nice people. Just nice people. But this is very hard to do. Your money of your neighbor, of your friend, should be as dear to you as your own money. If you see your neighbor's property being lost, or his ship being taken by the sea, or a fire was in his courtyard, help him, put it out. This is very practical. So instead of saying, don't hate everyone, practical application here. Help people, help people. Help them save their finances. You want to control the Yetzirah? How do you control the Yetzirah? Learn Torah! Be practical. Rabbi Yossi is giving practical advice. Exactly what the theories which were said before, he is giving practical advice. Learn the Torah. Prepare yourself to learn Torah. So in other words, it's not just learning Torah, you have to prepare yourself to learn Torah. You have to make yourself into a vessel. Because the Torah is what's going to fill your vessel. If the vessel is imperfect, your Torah is going to be imperfect. What is the vessel? Number one is Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is not what you do in the public, it's what you do in private. Yirat Shamayim. Person has fear of Hashem. Number two, we said, what was number two? How do you prepare yourself for Torah? Be humble. Person is proud, obviously he's not going to learn Torah. He's not going to, well, this guy doesn't know more than me, he doesn't know more than me, I know everything. There was a rabbi in England who came along and he says, all the other rabbis are wrong. No one knows what they're talking about. And he didn't last long. He didn't last long because the other rabbis were very upset with him. So, like hundreds of rabbis wrote a letter against him. Wow. You have to be very careful what you say. Like, I am the greatest. And Hashem says, you are the greatest, I'll teach you a lesson. You're the greatest. So a person's got to be careful. Why? Because the Torah is not an inheritance. And where did we learn this last week? I'm just going to end off with this idea. Last week, the biggest surprise in the whole Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. He says, Hashem, appoint a leader. What does he think? Rashi says, I want my two sons to be leaders. Hashem says, no, the janitor is going to be the leader. Your janitor is going to be the leader. Who's my janitor? Yeshua, my janitor is going to be the leader? So yeah, he's going to be the leader. That was the biggest shock. Why? Because he was now prepared to be the leader. He had the vessel of humility, of love, and devotion that prepared him to be the leader. Amazing. And the biggest surprise, one of the biggest surprises of the Torah is who became the leader of Israel. Is Yeshua takes over from Moshe. Can you imagine? Moshe Rabbeinu says was like the sun. Yeshua is like the moon. Now the moon without the sun is useless. Because the moon is just a reflector. Yeshua just reflected the greatness of Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the moon has to become a sun. It takes a lot of effort, but that's not a surprise. Hashem says, Torah is not inheritance. You cannot pass the Torah down from father to son. The son also has to learn Torah. He's also going to strive. When you see a rabbi, the son of a rabbi, it's not because he's the son of a rabbi. It's because he himself had to study. Even though the son of a rabbi is not going to help him much if he doesn't study. You see, many sons of rabbis don't do anything. Okay, we're going to stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Next week is the last week in the summer, guys. I'm going away. Bezrat Hashem, hope so, in good health. To Eretz Israel. So next week, and then Tisha B'Av, we have a few movies over here in the afternoon. Tisha B'Av, please stay tuned. And Rose will send out.
How long are you going to be?